I'm back. It's been a minute, but not as long as usual. I'm trying to be consistent. It's the No Fronts podcast. Really good episode. A lot of value, a lot of information. Interesting dude. Chase Namick is my guest. He's the YouTube dude right now. In the business community, he's got a bunch of cash cow business accounts. Some of them are doing $20,000-$30,000 a month on YouTube, and he talks a lot about it. Gave a lot of fire value. This is a good episode. Everyone should listen. This is season 2, episode 3, No Fronts Podcast. I have Chase Namick right now on the podcast, who is a YouTube. How would you classify yourself?
Shit, I don't even know. Fucking a YouTube cash cow machine. No, I don't fucking know. There's really no way to classify what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I think we'll get a little more into that. But basically, Chase is someone, this is the first time we've ever spoken. It's funny. Originally, I thought Chase was full of shit. And I have a tendency of opening my mouth. A lot of the time, I'm pretty on point, but I was completely wrong with Chase. Regarding his business and what he does and the results that he's getting. It's all real. And so I reached out to him. I first apologized, I think, in your live. And then we started talking on DM casually here and there. And then I asked him to be on the show. Someone actually requested him. So here we are now.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I don't hold any grudges or anything like that. So it's all good.
It's just funny how things work out like that, though, that you're on my show right now. It's funny.
No, that's hilarious.
So tell me just a little bit about like you prior to YouTube, kind of like growing up, where'd you grow up? What was your life like? That kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, nothing too entailed. I mean, just fucking grew up normal. Just, I didn't work or anything like that, 'cause I was in high school prior to YouTube. So pretty much right out of the high school, I was doing YouTube from the get, and I've been doing it ever since. Pretty unconventional way that I do it. The way I was doing it traditionally was the same way that most people do it, which is like simply making your own content, uploading it to YouTube, which I did that. I did that initially, built up a channel to around 80,000 subscribers. I then ended up hiring someone to produce the videos. I gave them equity in the channel. The channel started making like 15, 20 grand a month, and then I used that money to start more channels, and I really haven't made a YouTube video in probably 3-4 years. So now I just have workers, script writers, voice actors, editors. They all produce the videos on my behalf, and I pretty much manage and oversee everything. So it's pretty much just content delegation. I find it to be like the most scalable way to do YouTube. Definitely not the most lucrative way, because obviously when you show your face, there's a lot more avenues to make money through sponsor deals, through selling your own products, brand integration, all that type of stuff. But I'd rather make a little bit less money and not have to deal with all the ramifications that come with that.
And by the way, that's great, and also a shit ton of information, which is also great. I can tell that you've had to say that a bunch of times because people probably ask, and that's your thing. But like, I want to know a little bit more about. We'll get into it, but I want to know a little more about like prior. Like, okay, so you after high school, you started YouTube. Did you know that you wanted to get involved in YouTube? Was that like your sort of something that you were interested in, or was it just that you saw the potential, or like was college not a thing for you? You didn't want to go, like, what's the deal with all that prior?
No, I don't think there was any, I don't think it was that I wanted to do YouTube per se. I guess it was just that, like, I've always wanted to make a lot of fucking money, and I saw YouTube as being probably the path with least resistance. So yeah. I was just like, fuck it. You know, I see a lot of people making money on YouTube. They don't seem like they're fucking geniuses. The other avenues of making money that I saw, the people that were making money in those avenues seemed like they were fucking geniuses. So I was like, you know what? I'd rather do what requires, you know, the least resistance, least friction. And I thought YouTube was that, and turned out to be so. So that's what really led me to getting into it, was just seeing people making money on it. I didn't think those people were any different, and I thought I could do the same thing.
So where'd you grow up?
Yeah. South Florida.
Okay, so you're from Florida, and so you didn't want to go to college?
No, I didn't really want to go to college, no.
All right. I didn't go either. I'm not saying that in like a negative way by any means. I it's actually more almost of a positive, just because there's a lot of people that I know that listen to my show and they're torn and think that that college is like the half you have to go. And so it's always nice to hear someone who is gaining success in their life at a young age and didn't go to college. You know what I mean? Not that college is bad, but it, you know, there are other avenues.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, today's world, there's so much fucking opportunity outside. Not to say college is bad, but it's definitely not necessary like it used to be.
No doubt. And so now you have these channels and you've built basically, I mean, more or less what it looks like for me, someone who came, my background was in entertainment. I worked for Robert Downey Jr. for 6 years, did branding and was around entertainment. And to me, it looks like it's essentially you're building a studio.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to call it that, I mean, I don't really have any workers that, work on site per se. I mean, I have like a few assistants and stuff like that.
No, of
And I have.
course. But I just mean like in the modern day, in like the day and age that we live in, YouTube is a network and producing content, but you're not actually in the content. You've got creators, you have script writers, I assume, right? Like, and so like when I say that, it's almost like a modern day studio.
Yeah, I mean, you could call it that.
It's interesting. I've never like thought about it like that. So, what was the one, at what point did you kind of think, okay, I'm going to start hiring people to do this? And when did you test that? Like, 'cause you said you first started where you were on camera, right?
Yeah, so I wasn't on camera. I was producing like Call of Duty videos and
Got
gaming
it, got it,
videos and
got it. Yeah,
whatnot.
yeah, yeah.
And so I would say my first month, where I made a lot of money, which was 18,000. Once I had that $18,000 month, like the next month, I wanted to really take things to the next level because it was December and that's when like CPMs are the highest. So basically, what I ended up doing was one of my buddies had a guy who worked for him, and he was like, "Yo, he'll make videos for your channel if you give him equity in the channel or whatever the case may be." So I gave him 30% of the channel, and that ended up working really fucking well. So I pretty much just gave him 30% of the channel. The channel ended up making a lot more money, like 20, 25 grand a month. And then I essentially leveraged that income to start more channels. So
Got
that's what
it.
I did with that. And ever since then, I haven't made any videos. I
Do you
never really had like a
curate?
passion for making the content. I was doing it strictly for the money. So I wasn't really like making content I enjoyed or anything. I was literally just deliberately going out there looking at whatever was getting views and just sort of replicating based off of that.
And so do you but at this day, at this stage of it, are you still kind of curating and telling them, or do you have a machine where they can choose, where they basically figure out what's trending and then build off of that?
So for the most part, I would say I'm curating things. I wouldn't even call it curating. I would say I'm selecting the video ideas, like going out there doing the keyword research and all that. I do have some automated channels. So the channels are fully automated. They're like machines, basically, where I have teams just fully run them for me. But for the most part, on most of my channels, I'm gradually making that switch over to automating them because it's definitely a huge bottleneck that I face is like finding reliable employees and stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure you face that and everyone faces that in business. So I have a few automated channels because I've been fortunate enough to find a few reliable employees who I trust enough to actually have access to the channels and go in and, do all that. But not all my channels are automated. So for the most part, what I'm doing is just, overseeing everything, coming up with the video ideas and stuff like that. Whereas on the automated channels, it's just completely done for me.
Are they signing NDAs? Like, do you have fear ever of them just like saying, fuck you, I'm gonna go do this myself?
Not really, to be honest with you. A lot of people do ask me that, like, hey, why would these guys make videos for you? They could go make it for themselves. I mean, technically they can, of course, but a lot of people would rather get the upfront pay and have the stability. I have like 15, 18 guys I work with now. Some of them I pay 3, 4 grand a month, a grand a month, $800 a month, and they'd rather be able to get paid that money right off the get than have to go out there and spend 1, 2, 3 years building up a channel that they potentially don't know will yield a return. So they'd rather take that stable income and do that. Now, granted, I have had some employees that have gone out there and started their own channels. That's a given, but it's not as big of an issue as people think it is.
Right. You just, yeah, I'm sure you don't want them to see your payment stubs, right? I mean,
Yeah, no, for sure. I completely separate my YouTube business from my Instagram business, like 100%.
yeah.
Like my employees don't even know about my Instagram. At
That's
least my
good.
YouTube employees don't know about my Instagram. I like to completely separate that because
Yeah.
obviously It's just that's not a smart way to do it.
For sure. I would keep them separate. And like when you were, was there did you have some channels that bombed, or was your like what were some things you tried that didn't work, or did it work from the get?
No, for sure. I mean, the gaming videos did pretty ass, to be honest with you. When I switched over to like list-based videos, like top 10 secrets about Warren Buffett, like videos like that, those did pretty well. And that's when things really took off. So, yeah, the gaming videos did pretty horrible. I mean, to this day, not every channel I start succeeds by any means necessary. I mean, if I start a channel, I'll give it 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 8 months tops before I'll go ahead and shift gear if it's not working. So, you know, I'll test the waters with a niche. I'll see how things go for 3 to 6 months, 8 months tops. And if none of the videos pick up, if none of them gradually get momentum, then I'll go ahead and convert the channel over to a different niche. I never really give up or abandon a channel. I just don't think that's smart to do because there's always leeway and there's always potential for a channel to get views.
And do you find niching down on YouTube is really important, like super specific?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're all over the place uploading like sports, gaming, top 10s, like just not going to fucking work. That worked like probably 4, 5, 6 years ago. I mean, people were doing like fine compilations. They were doing like skits. They were doing everything and it worked. But nowadays your channel has to be congruent. Otherwise, you're really just not going to have consistent views. Because one of the most important things on YouTube is view velocity, the views you get first 24 hours. And if you don't have congruent content constantly being uploaded, you're not going to have that consistent viewer base that's coming back from video to video. And that's obviously super detrimental to a channel.
Yeah, because you only have like a certain percent of people watching your videos because they're not interested in fucking like knitting or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so, do you use a lot of it like evergreen content?
Yeah, for sure. The vast majority of it is, honestly, like with the amount of channels I'm actually running, I don't have the capability to go out there and produce like content that's trendy right now. It's just way too difficult given the volume I'm doing. So pretty much all the content I'm doing is evergreen, which is really good as well. But when you're building a channel, it's good to do trendy content. Because it's good, it's easy to build the channel off of that. But the eventual goal is to shift over to evergreen content, because then that allows you to not have to, you know, stay on top of all the trends and everything. It just allows you to work less and still reap the benefits.
Interesting. And then you're now with Instagram, I think it's super smart what you're doing. You're buying a lot of accounts, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I spent close to $250,000 buying accounts like this past year.
Wow, that's crazy. That's it's crazy, but it's like I have a buddy who's actually, he's got a marketing agency. He's a good friend of mine. Guy's got 80 employees, 40 are in LA and then 40 are in the Philippines. And we've done some work together, but for a while we were looking at Instagram like real estate. And we're like, well, I mean, essentially if you buy up land on Instagram, it's, you can always make money for at least for the next 10, 15 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know about that. You think Instagram's going to be around for that long?
I think it's going to be like Facebook, but like, here's the thing is people are still making money on Facebook and people with huge followings still make money on Facebook. So like whether or not it's like spam central and it sucks and it's a much older demographic, like I think you're always going to be, I think for at least 10 years, you're still going to be able to leverage your influence on each of your accounts. I do think so.
For sure. I mean, the only thing I get scared of is how they keep cutting organic reach, which is obviously good for them, but that's what killed Facebook, the self-sabotage of the platform. Obviously, it makes them more money in the short term, but if they do that to Instagram, that's the one thing I do get worried about.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and that's the benefit of you buying big accounts, right? It's like, yes, it could ruin your reach, but you're going to have more reach than, I don't know, whatever the percent, I don't know the exact percent, but let's say like 75% of the accounts on Instagram. You're doing okay, and I think because you have so many accounts, like you can do. I always like the idea of, and I've always thought about, you know, I hate what they did with the Fyre Festival. I think, you know, obviously that was terrible, but like the marketing they did when I don't know if you're familiar, but when they did that like one color tile and everyone posted it, like there's a huge impact in marketing like that. And if you own a lot of accounts, you have a lot of reach regardless.
No, for sure. I mean, dude, I'm going ham buying accounts. So I'm all for Instagram. Instagram and YouTube, I'm fucking tripling down on, in all honesty. I really like Instagram just because, I mean, I have three programs I sell and fucking, I don't think there's really anything like them on the market. And with Instagram, I think there's a lot of potential through stories. And honestly, stories are just, it's like the best feature ever. So that's why I really buy these accounts, is just to be able to go ahead and convert them and start posting my content to them. And then I have VAs that go in and just close for me. And I really like that model as well. That's why I'm tripling down on it. Instagram and YouTube, I'm just going all out on.
One of the things I think you do that's really smart, and I don't know if it's it's contrived, like you're even aware of it. Maybe you are, but like your stories are, they're not clean, and but it's like real screenshots and shit. And to be honest, it is the most effective thing you could possibly do in content creation, especially when you're trying to drive sales. I don't know if that's something that you're aware of, but like it's, your stories are so good for that reason.
No, for sure. I mean, I would say everything I'm doing is definitely deliberate. At the end of the day, there's nothing more that hits someone in the emotions than seeing like a fucking $30,000 PayPal deposit and shit. So obviously, you know, I'm doing that deliberately. And a lot of people were skeptical at first. They thought it was fake, like I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah.
But what I did to basically alleviate that skepticism was I started just doing fucking live videos. Like I would go in and just record a video of me on my phone doing like a $30,000 PayPal deposit, because that's irrefutable.
Yeah.
And then people were just like, yo, what the fuck? And honestly, I agree with you 100%. Out of anything I post, it's those earnings videos that really fucking get people.
I know for sure. But not just that. It's like you don't make them pretty. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you just straight up do it on your phone, post it, and use Instagram font or whatever to whatever you're in. But that's, I'm telling you, dude, I have a, you know, if I did that more often, it would be more effective. It's just like my own aesthetic thing, but like it's something I talked to my buddy. Do you know Gabe, Digital Vision?
Off the top of my head, I don't. I probably do off the top of my head, I don't.
He's partners with Business Driven Dream, and they're starting a company called Posted. Those dudes are.
Oh, I think, does he run an Instagram business account?
Yeah, he has the Digital Vision, it's called. It used to be Instant Entrepreneur.
Okay, I know who that is.
Yeah, and he and I talk about it all the time, and he's a master when it comes to branding and also just like sales and driving traffic. And his thing has always been like that kind of messy, organic looking. That's why, look at memes. Look at like a funny meme that goes viral. It's not like some Photoshop perfectly edited typography post. You know, it never is.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So. I was going to ask you something. There was one other thing. What sort of like, do you know what your next sort of 2-3 years are going to look like?
Honestly, I don't. With this whole fucking online income and shit, like it's just, I mean, I just plan on taking all my money and putting it in real estate. Cause like with this stuff, you really never know how long it's going to last. So that's what I plan on doing, is just essentially deferring gratification, taking all the money I'm making that, is pouring into property. My goal is to get to $1 million a month off everything I'm doing, and just literally just fucking milk this shit as hard as I can for the next like 5, 6, 7 years, hopefully longer, obviously. But I just don't know with this YouTube, Instagram. I see another 5 to 7 years. I know you're optimistic. You see another 10 years, but it's not that I believe these platforms will like go obsolete or anything. It's just obviously maintaining income for, you know, long duration on any social media platform is not easy to do. You constantly got to be adapting. You constantly got to stay on top of everything. And honestly, I don't even fucking like doing that. So I'd rather just take the money and just dump it in properties and then build a portfolio. And that's my like long-term goal.
I think that I think that number one, Instagram is going to start, but you're going to be able to monetize IGTV, and that's going to be awesome. Yeah. Like that, I'm super excited about the way that they're pushing IGTV videos right now. By the way, like the reach you can get from IGTV is unbelievable. So I would definitely start on your
account. Yeah, I mean, your videos fucking pop. Like, you know your shit when it comes to Instagram. I see what you're doing.
My IGTV videos are doing like one of them, you know, like 200,000 views and shit. Like, and I'm doing that specifically because I know that it's coming and I want to have a library already full. And I know what they're doing now. They're converting it to more like YouTube, meaning where like you post a video and it went and it goes around Explorer for a while, it's gone. But what I'm noticing with IGTV, it's forever. I'm getting engagement on IGTV videos over and over again now. And these are videos from a couple months ago. So that's interesting to me. That's something that I'm paying notice of.
Yeah, I think what I got to do with these accounts, honestly, I got to tell my VAs to start churning out some fucking IG content or IGTV content, because I see how it's working for you. And honestly, that's the one thing I'm seeing as well, is like the problem with Instagram is the fact that posts only have like a 2 to 3 day lifespan, yep, and then they're dead.
Yep.
With those IGTV posts, I mean, your videos will hit my explore page and they'll sit there for like a good 2, 3, 4 weeks. So
yeah,
100%, man. IGTV is definitely where it's at. I got to find a way to integrate that on all the accounts that I have my VAs running.
You should buy an account that's kind of like a, I don't know, like shocking video account, and you should transfer your YouTube videos to IGTV format and test it, because that shit might run, and then you might have a library already built for when it's time to get monetized, and then you have the same kind of content already up on these big accounts.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good
instead of
point.
Don't buy, like, I know, I mean, it's great you're buying business accounts, but I would start buying some, like, just kind of like generic accounts, like not news, but you know what I'm saying, like a shocking video account, viral video account, or like a funny comedy account would be smart. And then just start testing IGTV so that when, and just transfer, you have all this content already.
No, that's a very good point. I mean, I was speaking to one of my buddies, Eric Damia. He runs the biggest travel page on Instagram, EarthPicks.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me, he's like, bro, you need to get all your content on fucking Facebook, because you're paying all these dudes for these, yep, YouTube videos. I'm getting hundreds of videos a week.
Yep.
I could take that content and essentially just aggregate it on Facebook and make money there too, because Facebook has monetization as well. So yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, going into this year, monetizing through Instagram and through Facebook as well, all the content.
Just use your library. Dude, you have it already ready. And if you have any good editors, going to be able, all they're going to do is have to change the formatting. That's it.
Oh yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, so I would do that. So I had one question for you, and then I know you've got to go too. But out of curiosity, so I have my YouTube channel, and I just like I told you earlier, like in our DM or whatever, like it's just I didn't put enough time into it, so I've kind of like put it aside for now. But one thing that I have is I have a fine fragrance perfume brand, and I'm actually the perfumer. I spent 2 years obsessed. I don't know why, some weird shit where I got obsessed with teaching myself how to make it, and I got really good at it. So now I've looked, and back then I was looking on YouTube. There was only one guy that existed, and he's crushing it. No one exists, because it's such a secret hidden talent. Like Francis, it's a whole long story, but Francis kept it a secret for so long. So there aren't that many people that actually know how to make like proper, like 60, 70 note ingredient formulas. And I do. And so I've thought about, is that something like when you see an opportunity like that on YouTube, do you think that there's potential, or is it, or would I have to check like kind of like analytics and search volume first?
You're saying you want to drive traffic?
No, I'm saying I could create videos that teach people how to make fragrance. There's only one person that does it. The rest are like, they're mixing like 3 different oils. It's not real perfuming. There's like, I'm talking about with scale and like synthetics, like I can do it like a chemist. And so I'm wondering, is if there's only one person on YouTube and he's killing it, is that something that potentially would be a good channel?
Potentially. I mean, I don't think there's probably a massive market there if there's nobody already doing it. I mean, that could just be a pessimistic point of view from my perspective.
No one knows how. That's the thing. It's the guys that know how are most of them. Most perfumers are in France. That's where they all are. And then the rest of them, like, they just don't, they're like 56 year old men, and they've kept it a secret for years because it's chemistry. They've tried to make it this secret sort of thing, and it's hard, but it's not as hard as they've all made it. So I don't think it's just that people aren't searching. I think that there's not a lot of people that know how to do it, because this guy, the guy who actually is doing it and knows what he's doing, his channel's crushing it.
Yes. I mean, I would fucking hop on it, but I'd say, on your social authentic channel, I would start doing business content. I mean, I know a ton of people are doing that, but honestly, all the shit that I'm doing is what everyone else is doing. I think that going into something that's already proven, that's like, if something's saturated, that means there's money to be made, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously everyone's trying to get rich. So if something's saturated, that means that it's already proven. So a lot of people get deterred when they hear of, you know, something being saturated. I get excited because then I'm like, holy shit, there's money to be made there. I'm going to go enter that market. Granted, with the perfume thing, I definitely say go for it. But I would also say all the content that you're making that's business related on IGTV and all that type of other stuff, you should resurface that content on YouTube, clickbait it, and get it on there. Because although business is definitely saturated on YouTube, I mean, most of the content being uploaded is not the best. And honestly, regardless of the fact, there's still a huge market there. There's tons of viewers that are, you know, entrepreneurship is just constantly growing, and it's only going to keep growing. So
a lot of,
I would say that should be your main
thing. 100%. And I will do that. But a lot of my YouTube channel was, it's me talking. The IGTV videos, like some of them aren't me. And that gets into, you have to do shared community content, right? Like if it's a video, or YouTube will flag you.
What, say that again?
For the videos that aren't me that I put up on Instagram, if I were to post them on YouTube, isn't there something, what's it called, like shared community?
Oh, so you're talking about content IDs, which basically means the video stays on YouTube, but the content beholder makes all the revenue from it. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean you can't upload it. All that means is that the video would go on YouTube, and the revenue from the video that's derived would go to the actual copyright beholder.
Got it.
I wouldn't upload those videos to be honest.
So just the videos of myself.
Yeah, so just the videos of yourself. And I would say a great way to fucking grow on YouTube, a lot of people, you know, might shy against it. But, you know, talking about big names like Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, I mean, you don't have to say anything negative because obviously that's not the right thing to do. But just making videos about those big names is going to be the easiest way to fucking grow. I mean, if you look at me, Kevin, Graham Stephan, those guys that kill it. I mean, if you look at when they really blow up, when they really blew up, a lot of the times it was when they made videos about other big entrepreneurs like Robert Kiyosaki, Grant Cardone. Those videos took off. Those videos built their initial base audience, and they had that audience to leverage and go make other videos for. So I would say that's a great way to get a channel off the ground, is by using big names. And that concept can be applied to pretty much any niche. Celebrities, you could cover Kim Kardashian. Business, you could cover Grant Cardone.
My best performing video was about Grant Cardone, and it got 9,000 views. So there you go.
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm saying. It's the best way to get a channel off the ground is by, you know, making videos about big names.
Got it. I appreciate it, man. This has been awesome. I think that's it, dude. I appreciate you being on. I think people are going to love this episode. And that's pretty much it, man.
Most definitely, man. I definitely appreciate you jumping on the call as well. And we'll keep in touch.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.